Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the round 13 waiver wire pickup and things we noticed throughout the round show. I'm your host John Crockett, stepping back in for the Statesman who did a fantastic job in my absence last week. And this week we welcome the one and only Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
Good, Jono, because I've been fucking. That's right, Baby Fizz 2 Electric Boogaloo is on the way. Happy days.
Congrats to the sex, and hoping for a boy because you don't want to be in an all-female household, would you?
No, well, look, we've got the results. It's a girl, and I'm happy with that because, Jono, if there's one thing I love... Well, look, when you're the poorest man in fantasy football, you've got to be spendthrift. So this way we don't have to buy new shit.
Aha, excellent, excellent. I love it. And Cam, we welcome you. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate, good. And just want to just take a little bit seriously for a bit to spare a thought for those that work in the AFL or in supporting roles that have been let go today and those in dependent industries like the media that have suffered over the same year. Can't imagine the decision would have been easy for those that have made it. And the next little while will probably be quite unclear for those guys. But I'd just like to remind people on social media and other platforms that it's not really helpful when you start saying things like, oh, the AFL should spend money on states where it matters and all those types of comments, because actually those people just want to, you know, deal with what's in front of them at the moment. So the AFL is actually filled with incredibly smart people, but even incredibly smart people couldn't have kept the Titanic afloat after it hit the iceberg. So just give them a bit of a break.
And also, don't hit up players on social media just because you lost a bet. Look, I lost a bet on the weekend because Grian Myers didn't kick a goal. I clapped him because he actually played a pretty good game. Big deal. I moved on.
Nice simple. Guy, Jono.
Yeah, simple. I punched the wall a few times, but, you know, that's fine. All right, we are going to get into it before Corona Ball 2, Electric Boogaloo. I think it's Fantasy Football Mania, whatever the fucking hell they're calling it these days. We're into the run now. Bye rounds are upon us. Our fantasy football finals are also upon us. I think there's even some people already having their final before the buys. If you're crazy like that, well done. If you won your league, do let us know on the Twitters and the Facebook. We like to hear all that sort of stuff. But we are going to kick it off with the Gold Coast Suns and the Blues game on the weekend, which I took a look at. And Hugh Greenwood seemed like he was back to his tackling best, had the 11 tackles and 11 possessions. It was hot as fuck up there with humidity up to around 100%, 35 degrees. So it was a bit sweaty. So lots of tackles to be had, poor ball skills as well. So one to watch with him. I thought he might have had a bit of a break throughout that whole Corona ball situation because he was playing week in, week out. We saw some of the other guys get rested, but they've got the 9-day break now, so he'll be fine. I'm liking Zach Fisher's high half forward role. He's getting up the ground, pushing up on the wing, can jag forward a little bit and kick a couple of goals. Got the DPP, so could be one to watch next year. Would have been sitting on your waiver wires to pick up as well. And Will Setterfield, I think Cam, you flagged him maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago as a bit of a waiver wire pickup, and he would have returned in spades for you. Had a couple of quiet games. He's over that knee reconstruction he had a couple of years ago. He's 22 years of age, and it looks like he's going to be the one running through that midfield now that Murphy's on the way out and retiring. So you think it's going to be Cripps, Walsh, and Setterfield and Curno for the years to come.
Yeah, I'd just be careful. Just with the Zach Fisher thing, I'd be a little bit cautious because Matt Kennedy was out this week, and I'd expect him to either come back this round or next round. So I think that's the reason why Zach Fisher was maybe afforded more time around the ball. That being said, I thought he looked really good around the ball. So it could be that he actually stays there, but just be a bit cautious.
Yeah, and Mark Murphy, sort of been watching him the last couple of weeks. He's out of that midfield, that centre bounce midfield group. He's just got a license to run and do whatever the hell he likes now. So he has been spending a bit of time behind the ball. So maybe if he's a sneaky DPP for next year, I'd be buying a bit of that if, for Mark Murphy next year as well. And before we move on, Cam, the segment is back after the great man Gerd Arene was dropped yet again for this game. So we bring in the segment, getting players getting a game before Fiorini. Who ticks the boxes right this week?
Flanders! 6 disposals, only 3 effective, 2 clangers, and his disposal efficiency was 60%. Flanders.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. They did look one big midfielder short on Thursday night there, the Suns. So who knows?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, Ainsworth spent time around the ball and his scores looked really good. So, like, in the 2 games that Fiorini actually played, his scores hit the toilet. Ainsworth's scores hit the toilet. And as soon as Fiorini's back out, his scores come back to being okay. So, might be a good one to watch for Ainsworth owners.
There you go. Run us through the Power and the Hawks, Cam.
So last week we were interested to see the effect of Sicily's departure and who may benefit from that in the backline of the Hawks, whether or not it's Day or Scrimshaw. And all I can say for now is it's still pretty undecided. The inclusion of Michael Hartley for his first game of the season definitely played into them sort of maybe not reaching a higher scoring potential, because he took some of the kickouts that we see Sicily get week in, week out. Scrimshaw got to an okay score, but he only made it there by doubling that in the fourth quarter. And Day actually only made his score by basically showing up to the ground mid-second quarter and mid-third quarter. So it was a bit of a slow day for both those boys, just patchy. So wouldn't feel confident about putting them on your field for now. Big boy McAvoy dropped his first really decent score of the year against Lysette with 83 AFL fantasy and a massive 147 super coach. He has a couple of easy matchups over the next few weeks, and he does have that lush ruck fender DPP in some formats. So if you're struggling in the ruck department or in defense, maybe he's a decent stream because he'll be on most waivers after going at like 30 for most of the season. So his next matchups are Bombers, Adelaide, and then St Kilda, teams that rucks normally score kind of okay against. Titch came out and said last week that he felt like he was finally getting back to how he was before the leg break, and he certainly looks like it. His last 4 were 102 AFL fantasy, which is crazy, and 132.5 super coach. So he's just going absolutely ham, definitely a captain option from now until the rest of the season. And over the last few weeks, 2 of 3 teams that have versed the Hawks have had their midfielders go pretty damn big, with Frio and now Port mids having a pretty high floor against them. Looks like next week could be a decent scoring game for the likes of your Dylan Shields and maybe Andy McGhost.
Who certainly was a ghost on the weekend.
Yes.
I checked out the Dogs and the D's. Lock it in for 2021. Josh Dunkley will be a ruckman. He attended the most ruck contest out of any Bulldogs player on Saturday afternoon. Timmy English spending a lot more time forward and just sort of just plodding around. Probably still got the effects of that ankle injury that he suffered the previous week. So they're just looking after him, making sure he can get a run through and he'll be right for the finals. It would be interesting to see if Dunks did get the ruck status towards the end of the year, because he's taken the most and second most the last couple of weeks. And we know what Luke Beveridge is like, so who the hell knows going forward. Melbourne's midfield rotation seems to be a big merry-go-round that seems to be continuing. It looked like Petraka was the main one who sort of missed out this week. So it was Viney, Oliver and Brayshaw running through the guts with Track seemingly on the outers, spending more time forward. And that's sort of really affecting the ceilings of all their players. Probably not so much Oliver because he can only play the one position, but it just seems to be capping them a little bit when they're not getting that midfield time then, and spending more time either on a wing or forward, that they're just not getting those big tons like we've seen Petraka score the last couple of weeks. And this week it was Viney and Brayshaw, so one to watch maybe going forward. with your finals, but again, they're still going pretty decent to actually play on your field, especially Brayshaw, who was absolute pus for the first 12 weeks of the year. And that's it. Yeah, the Demons were absolutely hopeless in that second half yet again. False herring yet again.
He still had 26 disposals and, you know, 8 clearances, like Petraka.
Still got the ball,
is.
But wasn't like full time like he had been spending previously. So, and that's what they've been doing. They've been rotating Viney, Brayshaw, and Track through that midfield group. So,
yeah, I also think his mark, like his marks were down on that game. So I think he finished with 2 marks. Or
yeah,
it's the ancillary
stats. All I'm saying is, if that's, you know, like that's a good bad game, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Like I said, the ceiling might be just capped a little bit if that's what they're doing. But nothing to be worried about. It's got the forward status. The Bombers and Tigers, Steve. What did you see there?
Yeah, so my my big watch was obviously with Hooley back, what was going to happen to Short, what was going to happen in the Richmond defence. And the Richmond defenders probably didn't score particularly well, but I wouldn't exactly chalk that up to Hooley's arrival. I'd more chalk it up to Richmond's dominance of the game. Like, they were plus 20 on their average for inside 50s, and the Bombers only went inside 50 24 times for the match, which is, you know, just exceptionally low. That's like half their average. So I think Hooley will affect a bit. Like, it probably brings the ceiling back a little bit. He didn't, you know, he only had 70% time on ground, but I think it's just a matter of monitoring expectation. But I don't think this game was a great reflection to say, oh, you know, they're not going to score well together sort of thing. I think they will score okay. Devin Smith probably spent a little bit, like, he was midfield, but he probably spent time behind the ball as opposed to in front of the ball. He was the guy at the back of the clearances. Highest disposal count of the year. Like, they were looking to get the ball to him. Obviously, he had the rest the week before. I thought he played really well, looked good. Used the ball pretty well. Darcy Parrish absolutely blew it to shreds, like, played awesome. Didn't have the fantasy score to go with it, like, really bad. Like, I think it was 1-3 kick to handball ratio. Only had the 6 kicks, but 17 handballs. Only had the 1 tackle, but 9 clearances. Time on ground's right up there. So, I mean, it looks like they're just going to keep him in the guts the rest of the year. Probably means he'll lose the forward status next year. And, like, he's clearly just a better super coach player than fantasy, I'd say. I think that's probably fair. But he's certainly all around the ball. And Tom Bell Chambers is pretty cooked.
I think we've known that for a number of years, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, he's had his moments. He's had his moments.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to watch this game, Cam, but Fremantle and Sydney, what the hell happened there?
Oh, my goodness. Who knows? It was a really hard one to watch, to be honest. Just an awful, awful game. JPK was a surprise in this week, and owners might be a little bit disappointed with his output of 65 AFL Fantasy and 84 Supercoach. But I think he's actually a really good buy-low candidate. It's a really easy story to sell that he's cooked. Over the hill, long in the tooth, all that sort of stuff. He's just come back from injury and all that side of things. But what they may not have seen is that he managed to chalk up those scores in just 65% time on ground. So he did get a lot of it, and he did score well while he was there. And I'd suggest that because he missed so much, that he probably was just being eased back into the game. So he's also a late season specialist, usually goes on tears for the last 4 or 5 games of the season. I think it's well worth a punt if you can get him cheap. Jono?
With Kennedy back, did that affect Parker a lot? Was he in the guts at all, or was it Parker spending a bit of time forward, or just a poor game?
Poor game. I like what Steve was saying with Basha Hooley and Jaden Short, and it's sort of not being indicative of how it will go forward. I think it's about the same for these two. So Luke Parker and JPK were scoring well together earlier in the season. They've scored well together for years. I don't think it'll change all that much. Jordan Dawson played a bit of a lush wing / halfback role. So he changed. He was playing full forward for the 2 weeks prior, and he'd scored okay in those games, but Horse clearly keen to make sure that he keeps his DPP status going into 2021, threw him in the back line, and he's managed 19 touches, 17 of which were by foot, so that's a pretty handy ratio for those mathematicians out there, for 79 AFL Fantasy and 93 Supercoach. If he keeps the role, he'll keep scoring, especially in 2 weeks' time when they come up against Melbourne, who absolutely cannot kick for shit. I mentioned last week that core midfielders versus Freo tend to have a reasonable floor this year, and it rang true again this year with Ollie Florent having the lowest of that core group, 62 AFL Fantasy and 72 Supercoach. I know it's not the best score, but again, I kind of feel that this year with your M6s and M7s, it's more about managing that floor than it is trying to get a really big ceiling, because they can sort of pop off your 30 every now and then and just completely ruin your week. So look to play your sort of mid-tier mids against Fremantle.
And Nathaniel Fyfe, was he spending more time forward this game? Or
yeah, he did spend a fair bit of time forward. It's probably really hard to mount a case to bring him back into the midfield. Like, the more and more you see Sarong, Brayshaw and Chera and guys like that in there, and them winning games, it's sort of like, why would you put Fyfe in there? Why would you disturb such a good thing?
Well, even Mundy's running through there, isn't he?
Yeah, Mundy was definitely stuck in the mid. So it's just, I'd suggest they're probably prepping Fyfe for the last few games of the season, and he will spend more time in the mid going forward. But it's very, very promising for Freo supporters for the next few years.
Even maybe a DPP for Fyfe next year.
Yeah, trend absolutely. Continues. Well, he missed it. I think Warney was saying he missed the most recent one by 1.5%. Something marginal. Absolutely marginal.
Interesting. Interesting prospect for 2021. I checked out the Cats and the Crows. Everyone thought this was going to be a bit of a demolition game, but the Crows actually showed a bit of fight. This game, whether it was for Texas 200th, who the hell knows, but one thing I know going into next year is that I'm fading everything Adelaide Crows, probably with the exception of Laird, if he continues his midfield role. Brody Smith, he was back in defence again this week, but he's still going to score you solid. And if Brad Crouch ships off to another club, then Matt Crouch seems to be flourishing in that role as that main midfielder. Not too sure what the hell's going on with Rory Sloane, if he's just still finding his way back from that injury, or he's just cooked because he's been a star for years but just hasn't seemed to be able to do it this year. Maybe he's not suited to Corona Ball, who the hell knows, but they're the guys I'd be looking at next year for the Adelaide Crows. Everyone else can get stuffed. Cam Guthrie, I think everyone's been waiting for a breakout for about the last 5 or 6 years, but this year it's really happened. Chris Scott's thrown him into the guts, and he's just absolutely braining it in that midfield. We saw a glimpse of it last year when he was playing as a bit of a tagging role, but now he's just running both ways and looking really good in that midfield, which means they don't have to rely as much on Dangerfield anymore. Even though he was in the guts the whole game, he wasn't the it guy winning the contested ball and the clearances. So pretty good signs next year. Guthrie might go a little bit later in the draft, but if there's a bit of hype over the preseason, then forget about it. And the Cats, they play an interesting brand of football. If when they're in defence, if they don't like anything going forward, they like to play the old chipmark game. So any Cats defenders there, like your Hendersons, your Collegiasneys, your Stewarts, they're just going to get the cheapy stats there in the back line until they're ready to push forward, and they look to use like a Parford or Guthrie going forward. So pretty interesting to watch, and good if you've got the Cats defenders there, especially if they're up against a team like the Pies or something in the next few weeks. As we know, Cats defenders score well against the Pies. So, Steve, run us through the Saints and the Lions.
So Sebros tagged Lachie Neal into a really subpar score for the great man. And Sebros is pretty... And it's really funny. Like, we saw at the end of last year when Ratten came in, Sebros went ham. And people thought that might continue. And instead, Sebros has gone full Jag this year. So you hate to see it, but not good. And with Neal and Lyons down, it really gave an opportunity for the great young men from Western Victoria to all stand up, and stand up they did, notably Jared Berry and Hugh McLuggage. Of course, Hugh McLuggage continues to fall over like a house of cards in front of goal, kicking 5 goals, 15 on the year.
Don't every Brisbane player fall down in front of goals?
Yeah, but I wanted to highlight McLuggage because we pump him up so much. And also, I hope Doss sheds a little tear when he's listening to this. Another solid game for Zach Jones. He's certainly been good. Nick Caulfield looked absolutely awesome. I know the DT score wasn't there, but we pump up Hunter Clark's tyres a fair bit. But Nick Caulfield, also from that draft, starting to, you know, look the goods. And another great young man from Western Victoria, well, with Western Victorian roots, Zach Bailey, probably doesn't get the love he deserves, but he's just been really solid for a young player.
Yeah,
where did he come from?
He's got family. Like he's got family down here, but he's from Northern Territory or something.
I hadn't heard of him before this year, and then he's just come from absolutely nowhere and he's dominating.
He had a monster game at the back end of last year. He's been around for a few years.
Yeah. Okay, just never relevant.
I don't know if you listened to the show when it was just Stato and I, Steve, but. Called out Caulfield as having the big breakout next year.
Next year or this year?
Yep, next year. Big breakout next year for Caulfield, yep.
Yeah, I always thought, and I stand by it, I thought St Kilda were the hardest team to predict heading into the year. And, you know, injuries happen, so obviously things become a little bit more clearer, but I stand by it. Like, you look at Seb Ross, and he seemed like a reasonable... He's been shit, and... Like, Jack Steele's just been fucking amazing. Like, he's All-Australian form.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, things are just... They had all the recruits, obviously, with Ryder and all that, so...
Yeah, well, Hill seems Brad Hill. Sort of...
Brad Hill, yeah, well, Jag Hill, right?
Bloody oath.
Seb Ross is parked right under it.
A lot of Jags.
Cam round us out with the Eagles and GWS.
Yeah, I don't have much for this one because it was just kind of a game where the people that you thought would score and the people that wouldn't score. But looks like there's a new Eagles defender to stream every week. Josh Rotham getting in on the chipping around style gameplay, similar to what the Cats do at the Eagles. So he worked his way to a nice score of 82 AFL Fantasy and 90 Supercoach. His last three average is pretty handy in both formats as well, about 70 in AFL Fantasy and 87 in Supercoach. Fieldable in most sides, I'd suggest, and he's floating around on both waivers. We'll talk about him a bit later. 23% owned.
Job security, though?
I think he's probably got it. So he's played the last three games and looked quite good doing it.
Okay.
Especially since Jackson Nelson, he copped a pretty heavy hit to the shoulder in his second term, ended up playing out the game. I'll just keep an eye on it through the week because they're probably in a position where they can rest him if they need to. And someone like Lewis Jetta can fill that role, who's been missing actually all year just because he's not in the best 22 anymore. So he can always come back in. Jake Riccardi looked awesome playing at half forward, but I'd probably advise spending a waiver pick on him. He made way he came in as a result of a Finlayson rest. So I'd kind of expect that Jake Riccardi will probably go out of the side, even after such a good game. But if he does keep in the side, I'd definitely get on board and pick him up later in the week because he looked awesome getting up and around the ground. That's about it from that game. It was just kind of was.
Yeah, it wasn't. I was watching a bit of that game. It wasn't pretty to watch. It was good watching Nick Nat, though. He was pretty
good. Yeah, he's just dominant. But, like, you can only say Nick Nat's so dominant every week before it just gets tiring, right? He's just crushing it this year.
Yeah. Be interesting to see if he gets a rest in the next week or two with the amount of games they're jam-packed into, even though he's come out and said he doesn't want to have a rest. So, it'd be very interesting to see what they do there. All right, that's all the games done and dusted. We are going to move on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we do talk waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 69% ownership or less. I've got to say, guys, it's getting harder and harder to pick the waiver wires at this time of the year, especially this round. There's some slim pickings out there. So, Steve, what have you got there for your waiver wire pickups this week?
Oh, well, once you drop Brody Grundy, who's on 8, approaching quarter time, you'll free up a spot. Of course, I'm joking, but the game's going on at the minute. And whoo, yeah, Josh Rotham is, Cam mentioned, he's only 23% owned. Been scoring well of late, so defender for West Coast. Camden McIntosh, 49% owned. Midfielder, he's been scoring okay. I mean, with the scale, I can't do math, so with the scaling, I think he's actually scoring about 500 a game. Carlton are playing Collingwood next week, so who do we pick up, Jono?
Jacob Wiedering, 17%.
Defenders, that's right. And Brisbane are on bye this week. I'd monitor who gets dropped because they got a pretty good run home. And they're a good team, so they might start kicking straight. Like, Hipwood's actually scored pretty well. I mean, if he actually had his kicking boots on, holy hell.
Mm. He was third for contested possessions this week. Hipwood. He was.
8 marks.
Massive.
Solid. What have you got, Cam?
So I had Rotham. I had Camden Mack. certainly didn't feel good about it. Nick Blakey, still at 57%. Had another okay game playing on the wing. Jared Brander came back for the Weagles as well. So since they've improved so much, it was a little bit easier for him coming back from injury. 37% owned, scored 61 and 70, and he should have DPP status in most formats. It's probably about it. It is quite bare at the moment.
It is, yeah. As I said, I got Jacob Wiedering, 17%. Sam Collins, been pretty good, especially for his super coach, 31%. And even, this is how bare the cupboard is, Jake Carlisle, 42%. He's been solid, been pretty good in Supercoach as well. So we got the buys coming up, so there's going to be a lot of people ad dropping, so we'll wait and see what happens there. But yeah, we are going to move on to the questions now. If you do want to send us through a question, you can hit us up on Twitter at The Draft Doctors or search us out on Facebook there as well. Kicking it off with Ninja Spoon, he asked, who is leading the one player per club fantasy draft we did in the lockdown? Equally, are you beating the traders? I think Warney chucked something up there. If you want to have a look at it, have a look at Warney. He had all our teams there. I had a look at it before the start of the recording, and holy shit. A lot of teams have been hit by injury, so it's sort of like a last man standing Thunderdome sort of thing, and my God. But I do like Roy's team because he's got Petraka, Hugh Greenwood, and a few other good midfielders in his team, Taylor Adams and Mitch Duncan, I think, so he's done pretty well in that one. Nick Westerman asks, hey guys, two questions. He's on top of the ladder and a lock for the finals, which they're playing in rounds 17 and 18. He's looking to grab some players returning from injury off the waiver wire, and he wants to know who he should target. Does he grab Burton, Zeeble, good personality? Or also, do I hold Connor Blakely and Mays or pick up Caulfield and Day? So, I would probably look at good personality Tom Lynch. I'm not sure what format it is, if it's Supercoach. He was scoring pretty well before he went down with that hand bone injury. Jack Zeeble, does he even get a game? North Melbourne are playing pretty well. I know he's the captain, but holy shit. And
Jack Zeeble getting the treatment from Jono.
Hey, I used and abused him last year. Fuck right off. But seriously, does he get in that midfield? You look at like the guys like Simpkin and Anderson, they're doing a really good job. So unless he's going to play as that pressure forward.
He wasn't playing midfield last year, was he?
Yeah, he got a run through in the second half of the year.
Oh, yeah. Once they switched the coaches and they had to win games.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Burton, I think he's a bit up and down, so I probably wouldn't touch that one. And do not hold Connor Blakely. I don't think he'll be in the team in the next week or two. He's dropped right off. Caulfield and Day is a pretty interesting one. Again, not sure the fantasy format you're playing, but I like them both. They're worth a go over Sam Mees. What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, I pretty much echo everything except for Ryan Burton, to be honest. I think Ryan Burton could still be relevant when he comes back from his soft tissue, but I mean, you're looking at these guys and they're all sort of 1 to 2 weeks away, and that's basically like when you're going into your final, are you like
17 and 18?
Yeah, even still, like that's you're probably getting them back the week before that. Are you confident fielding them the week before your final and then the week of your final? That doesn't sound.
I might field Burton if Houston's still out. If he's back, I'd find a hard time doing that move.
Yep.
Fair enough. And Aaron Scott asked, do I rage trade Jake Stringer? Anyone starting Jake Stringer, I'm guessing this is salary cap, then this is the wrong format. But yes, get rid of Jake Stringer.
I'd also like to apologize. Yeah. I'd also like to, in real life, just out, go.
Out.
I'd also like to apologize to anyone who streamed Gary Rowan. We all felt that burn. It looked good. Sometimes things don't work out.
I did see a couple of messages floating through there on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we cost someone their season. Look, and I say unfortunately, but I don't think you streamed Gary Rowan ever. Like, he didn't cost you those losses earlier in the year. But hey, that's the stream life. That is the stream life.
Man, brutal. That is brutal. He didn't look bad. It's just that prick Tomahawk got in the way of everything yesterday. Just shit happens. Shit happens. All right. Anything else to add, boys?
I think that's it.
That's it. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. If you want to check us out on social media, as I said, check us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors or search us on Facebook as well. Thanks for listening. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.